Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Yes, we have that hope, and our hope is in Jesus, and it is what separates us as followers of Christ. Seeking to serve our Lord, it is what separates us from the world. And I'm reminded that it's not easy. We have our share of issues in our house like everybody else. I know it might look like it's perfect from the outside. That's a joke. But it's not. It's, you know, and I'm encouraged, just like Sue's saying with Paul, if God can take Paul, Saul, who was actively persecuting the church, and make him the primary spokesperson to the Gentile nations, God can do anything. And that's what the Bible records, God's big story. You know, we went through that last year and a half, and just a reminder that it's all God's story. It's His testimony, and He chooses to work through us, and we don't understand it. At least I don't. But I'm grateful for it. You know, when we get those testimonies from those that shared and those in my own life of where I can see there's no other explanation, but that was God working, even in the ordinary, everyday life. And that is the title of my message today in Acts chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the entire chapter. And this idea of just another ordinary day. Peter and John were heading to the temple to pray, as they did three times a day. It was a regular routine. It was something that they did regularly, and what other Jews were doing. And they were on their way on this ordinary day, and they run into a man, and they encounter him, who undoubtedly has had a lot of adversity in his life. He was a man who's crippled since birth. We learn later on in Acts chapter 4 that he was in his 40s. He lived a long time in this way. He wasn't able to move on his own, and we'll get into that. But we all face adversity in life. Whether you're coming in today and this is just another ordinary day, or there's adversity in your life, I think this message today, this passage, has some goodness for you, and I pray that it does. We all face adversity. But let's read the passage. We're going to read Acts chapter 3. I'll read this to you. If you want to follow along, if you've got your Bible, that's great. If you've got your phone, open it up. We've got it on the screen. You can follow along starting in verse 1. Again, it's a little longer passage, but I think it's important we read it all at once and see what God has for us today. Starting in verse 1 of Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." Verse 5, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all of the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, the man whom you see now was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people." Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, and as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Let me pray over this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for this account that's recorded in Scripture. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that this passage today would speak loud and clear to us as the Holy Spirit is at work. God, remove stumbling blocks from our paths so that we can hear and see what you have for us today. And God, let the Holy Spirit have his way. And Lord, we lift this all up in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of this message I've already mentioned is Just Another Ordinary Day, or Just Another Day. Peter and John are heading to the temple. They pray. This is the third time of the day where they gather to pray three times a day. And as they're praying, as they're heading there, they run into this character. I call him the beggar, the lame man. And let me tell you, he was going about his regular day. His day consisted of being carried by somebody every day to the same spot, as the text tells us, to beg for money. And, you know, lest we look down on him, he really had no other choice in those days. It's what they did. And we see that even today in today's world. And sometimes I think when we see folks that are maybe begging beside the road, and listen, I know there's plenty of panhandling that goes on and plenty of all of that that happens, but sometimes I wonder, when I see them, am I looking at them maybe the same way Peter and John looked at this beggar? They realized in this ordinary day they were coming upon something. They pass by him and they make eye contact. Now, I joke with you guys when I'm opening up the mic. I know when people don't want to talk is they start looking down, they start looking around, right? As a teacher, those were the people I called on because I knew that they were trying to not interact with what was happening. But Peter and John had a chance here. He calls out. They could have just kept going, but they didn't. They make eye contact with him and they engage in this conversation. And in verses 6 and 7, I'll just read through those real quick again. So they tell him this. Peter says, I don't have silver and gold, but I will give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand. So this means they further engage him. He helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And I don't want to gloss over that too quickly. We take a lot of things for granted. At this age in my life, when I tell my body to get up, it still gets up. Now, I realize that gets harder and harder the older we get. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you've been sitting too long? Maybe you've been driving in a car a long time, and you tell your body to get up, and it goes, nope, not yet. Takes a minute, right, for that blood to get flowing. But can you imagine not having that strength, not being able to get up for 40-plus years, as we read in Acts chapter 4? We'll see that next week. This was something that was not expected. His everyday ordinary life was just about to be changed. And I love this for several reasons. Number one, as I think of Peter, when he engaged in this, this was incredible, right? Because he's going to pray, he's going with John, he's just going about his business. But in that moment, he was obviously prepared. He had priorities such that he was looking, in my opinion, for how God was working. He was in tune with where the Holy Spirit was leading him because he had a chance. He could have looked the other way, and he engaged and he trusted the Holy Spirit, and he spoke into this man's life, and he led a miracle by the power of God. In this moment, too, I see the man, the beggar, also believed. Can you imagine if you had been this way for 45 years, never being able to get up, and someone says, get up? I mean, how are you going to respond? I don't know, but this man was instantly received this power and was starting to get up. We realize that he was going about his everyday way, and things changed forever in that moment. But that is just how God works sometimes, isn't it? He interjects himself in the midst of our craziness, in the midst of our life that is just sometimes ordinary. We feel like it's ordinary. And I think about times in my life where, unfortunately, I usually see things in the rearview mirror. I go, man, that would have been a really good opportunity to pray for that person. Oh, I should have said something. Or, boy, I could have just bought that person behind me's lunch. It's not a big deal. No one would have ever known who it was. God told me that I should do something, and I just goes, oh, no, you mean tomorrow, right, God? I don't know if that's you, or maybe it's just this pastor, but sometimes when we see things in the rearview mirror, we see opportunities we had. But man, I want to be like Peter. I want to be going into this day, even though it's an ordinary, everyday day, I want to go in expecting to see God work. And what's amazing with this man too, this beggar, he doesn't just stand up and walk away. He recognized what happened there. He had probably heard of this Jesus before. If he's in his 40s, he's been going there for a long time at this temple courts. He might have even seen Jesus. And Jesus, this is the crazy part, is Jesus may have even have walked by him at earlier point in time, knowing that later on, this miraculous event was going to happen. Did you ever think about that? I don't know. These are the things that keep me up at night, wondering how God does things and why he does them. But we realize that for whatever reason, for that point in time, it was ordained that something amazing was going to happen. What's a point of application for us through this passage so far? Peter and John were going about their ordinary business. They were going to the temple. They were going to somewhere where they went every day. They did not know this beggar. However, their spiritual eyes were open and ready for God to work. So my question for us as we process this is this: are you on the lookout for God to move? Are you approaching every day to the best of your ability? Are you on the lookout? Are you expecting God to move? And maybe that's the takeaway for us, is maybe our eyes need to be refocused, right? And so I'm talking about when you go shopping at the store. I'm talking about when you go to work. I'm talking about whenever you're at a family's house, whenever you're doing things, whenever you come to church even, are we expecting God to move, and are our eyes open to what he's asking us to do? Well, in the back half of this passage, so this all happens, and so this man is miraculously healed. He's what? He's walking, he's jumping, he's praising God. And in that moment, Peter still could have stopped, but he didn't. He had an opportunity. Then in the back half of this passage, I just called this Peter's proclaiming Jesus. Peter saw a door wide open, and he jumped in and started to proclaim Jesus. See, in the midst of the ordinary day, he was proclaiming healing. He was proclaiming what was happening here. And this man responds, gets amazing amount of attention, right? Because people knew who he was. And in verse 12, we see that there's a lot of attention immediately turned here. And Peter goes, all right, now is the time. I'm ready to take the message the gospel that I've been given. And he proclaims Jesus. And he starts out this passage in much the same way he did in Acts chapter 2, where he says, "Hear, O men of Israel." And again, this isn't just saying just the men. This is just how they announced that. So it's important to know he's proclaiming this to the crowd. He's saying, listen to what's happened here. Why does this surprise you? The power of the one that, by the way, Jesus, the one that you crucified, the one that we as a people, you as a people, turned over to the Pilate and asked for a murderer to be given to us, this same Jesus who we witnessed his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And now we're here today proclaiming by the power of that God, that Jesus that we have seen, this is why this has happened. And in the midst of this, turn your heart to him. Repent. There's that word again. Repent and believe. Repent, remember? Turning from the ways of this world, turning towards the cross, and realizing we're in pursuit of Jesus. We're saying no to what our flesh desires. They're saying no to what the world is calling them to. They're saying that's the power of Jesus. That's the example we have. Turn to him. Repent. Only he has the power to wipe away your sins. Don't reject this. Turn to him. And then he goes even one step further and he says, and that Jesus is coming again. Someday he's returning and he's going to make everything right. But until that day, we need to turn to him. And I love Peter, and someday I want to maybe give a message as good as Peter gave. Peter crushed it that day. But again, remember, like I talked about before, Peter really kept it simple. Peter kept it all about Scripture, all about God's Word, and he kept it all about Jesus. And if I can say one thing, maybe that is where we try to make things too difficult sometimes. Maybe we try to make it harder than it needs to be. You know, we're caught up in a world where we see all this flash and glamour and Hollywood and movies and stuff like that and flashing lights, and we don't have any of those here, but that's okay. But, you know, I'm not criticizing churches that have that as long as we're keeping the message simple, we're keeping it about God's Word, and we're keeping it about Jesus. If we're doing those three things, then however, you know, we're presenting it, maybe we'll take care of itself. But in our own life, how are we doing that? How are we looking for opportunities? Just like Peter here, just like this beggar who didn't know what was going to happen that day and perhaps gave one of the strongest testimonies by the way he responded. He believed, he got up, he walked, he jumped, he praised God. We can keep the message simple. But in the midst of that, what is the point of application for us? And that's kind of my second part here. If you think about this, it helps us understand Peter a little bit more, right? It helps me understand some of the epistles that he wrote later, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and even the verses we read earlier, and I'll read them again here. It helps us understand what Peter, who he became in Christ. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, I'll just read them again. Peter's talking here, he's writing, he says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do so with gentleness and respect." And so we see Peter here. We see the heart of who he was. This is Peter who denied Christ three times, had the chance to stand up for Jesus in his greatest moment of need, and he said no. He wouldn't even say it to a girl at a fire. And he then makes eyes contact, I think, with Jesus at that moment and realizes, and he thinks like it's over. So Jesus gets crucified. And Peter, what does he do? He goes back to fishing. He kind of goes back to the way things were before Jesus. But then Jesus wasn't quite done with Peter yet. So he seeks Peter out. And in that moment, there's this intimate connection where Jesus asks him, "Do you love me?" three times. And he has the opportunity to say, "Yeah." And then he just says, "Serve my people, feed my sheep, take care of the flock." Jesus is reminding him it's okay. He gets forgiveness. He gets, because he had repentance. And God took that opportunity in Jesus to make Peter right. And I think it's in that moment that it probably clicked for Peter. I think it clicks for him, and we see that he took it from there and was one of the boldest men for the gospel from that point forward. Before, he was a completely emotion-driven, ready, fire, aim type of personality. Now he was calculated, prioritized, fervently seeking Jesus. And he was on the lookout for God moments every single day. And so my question of this, a point of application, is do we live with the same expectant urgency as Peter each day? Kind of a piggyback on the previous question. Do we live with the same expectant urgency as Peter each day? You know, we realize that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised this afternoon. We don't know when our time is going to end. And not to be morbid and not to put pressure on people, but this is serious. Understanding that we are called to serve Jesus with all that we are, just like Peter. And the question, do we go through the day? And I'm pointing at myself just as much as anybody else. You know, when you point at other people, you got three fingers pointing at yourself, right? So I got six fingers pointing at me. I understand that I don't always do this great. So many times I get to the end of a Sunday and I just look to the week ahead and I just go, okay, this is Monday, this is Tuesday, this is Wednesday, let's get it done and check it off. And that's sometimes where God goes to work. But do we live with the same expectant urgency as Peter each day? And that just points me right back to Matthew 16:24, where Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, you must deny self, take up your cross, and follow him. In other words, we need to repent. We need to turn and say, our way is not the right way. Our sin nature, where this is leading me, is not good. What the world says is good is not necessarily good. We need to turn to Jesus, and we need to surrender that daily. Right? I mean, I think sometimes we think that, you know, once we repent of something, it's never going to be a problem again. I don't know about you, but sometimes there's things in my life at different points that certain sins were ones that I really wrestled with. And I don't know why, perhaps, but I just know this, that it came to a point where I just had to, you have to surrender even that and realize, God, I know that I've sinned and I've screwed up again, but I'm turning back to you. I'm working this way. And Lord, give me the Holy Spirit to keep going. And then we need to follow Jesus. And following Jesus isn't easy. Following Jesus isn't easy for a number of reasons, but one of the ones that sticks out the most to me at this point in my life is he doesn't always tell me every step I'm going to take. In fact, I don't know about you, he never tells me every single step. He might go, okay, you're going to go this direction. I'm not going to tell you anything about what's coming. You can trust me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. Do we live with that same sense of urgency every day? Well, today's passage, as I wrap up here, is our response is what? Today's passage speaks to God acting in the life of one who could not help himself. That's the beggar, right? That's the first one that comes to mind. He supernaturally intervened and healed and saved this man. We all face adversity in our life, and sometimes God is going to intervene supernaturally, and sometimes he's not. We don't know what God's will is. Perhaps we're trying to seek after him, but we can trust him. But what I can take away from this is our impossibility is God's opportunity. Whatever I say is impossible is God's opportunity to swoop in and take advantage of that moment and work in and through me. See, we might think it's impossible, and we're probably right in and of ourselves, but through God, that is God's opportunity. The question I have is, are we going to trust him? One takeaway is this: God works in our everyday, ordinary days. I can tell you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, Pam, perfect example. She's just doing life, trying to get through to those so those tires didn't blow out and make them last as long as she could, being frugal and smart with her money. And she finally says, okay, they need to happen, and she's ready to pay, and God swooped in. He goes, I got this. I'm going to help you out. What a testimony. Same with Grace. Is this a simple, everyday thing? She gets her cheap jean from me. I'm cheap. You know, she's like, I can sort of, this scratch isn't that big if you twist it like a little bit like that. And finally she's realizes she's got to do it. And you know, what does God say? Got this. got this. Now, I'm not telling you that's going to happen every day, but I'm telling you that God works in ordinary days. He works in the ordinary, everyday day. In 2 Corinthians 5, I just want to highlight these. These are one of my favorite passages. I probably say that every week, but 17 through 21, where it talks about, you know, that we are called to be Christ's ambassadors. We're his spokespersons. God is going to use us in everyday, ordinary ways if we are looking for it. And sometimes, even if we're not, God is at work. Second takeaway is this: even in the midst of adversity, God's mercy is God's opportunity. God can and will use situations to proclaim Jesus, often through merciful acts, and we can trust him and seek him out in that. As the worship team makes their way to the stage, we're going to sing a song, Holy Forever, one of these Chris Tomlin songs. It's just a really great one to listen to and sing with. But it helps focus us back to what God and who he is. You know, I don't know what you're going through today. Everybody's got hard things, but I can tell you this, is God is holy. God is forever. God is in control. God is all powerful. I don't know what that means for the situation that you're dealing with, but I know this, that God knows and I can trust him. You know, his word tells us that he's working all things out for the good of those who love him in Christ Jesus. It might not be on this side of eternity. It might be after that, but God is trustworthy. God is working. The question is, are our eyes seeing? So let's go ahead and sing this song. You guys can join us, get to your feet, sing this closing song.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.